Last time on Wanderlust. You are sitting in this dark room, alone, waiting, basically to die.
I would say he's scared shitless. Right at this moment, he's wishing he wasn't forced to leave the city.
Maybe they won't be able to push through. As inch by inch, you see this door creak open until finally one takes one step through. And you're like, nope, it's happening.
Yeah, I think Fred's going to attack the ones coming at him.
You kind of have this realization of both, like, I'm doing well, these things are not fast, eventually I'm gonna get tired, and there's a lot of them.
Estelle's going to get up closer to him, and she's gonna start sweeping the torch in front of her, like, in as wide of, like, a 180 as possible to try and get them to back up.
Do I know the notes to, like, make a builder beetle explode?
You can make a roll. You can certainly try.
Cool. I'm going to grab the builder beetle and run the direction the people are running from. Can I chuck the builder beetle at the ones attacking Estelle and Matthew?
Yes. So, it's a really good throw, man. You nail it. So, I'll say, like, Estelle gets knocked to the ground, right, and is about to get dogpiled, and then a 50-pound chitinous boulder, basically, just slams over her head, knocking a bunch of these things over. You can see limbs snapping, and, you know, it's, like, that moment of realization of, like, oh, this is not gonna go, like, we're not winning this. This is very bad.
And she's just gonna start unpacking things with an idea of, like, trying to set up their previous light defense systems, since that is what the eco-herbs used to use when there was, like, when more offensive
skirmishes and stuff. Yeah, you're like, we're done, like, that's it. A opalescent white beam cuts across the bank far enough to, like, draw a boundary where there aren't things getting through anymore, as this, like, blinding white light starts bouncing back and forth from the lighthouse. I'm going to take by the fact that you are here that this is over. She grabs your face and goes, what is the point of dating you if I do not have my own personal bodyguard?
My good looks?
What does her scratch look like?
Just a scratch right now.
She's gonna clean that really fast.
Fred, you wake up on the ground in a pool of blood.
Is it my blood?
Yeah, you have lacerations all over you.
What do you, like?
I live here. I am of this place and you are not. But the longer you spend here, eventually you will be. It changes you. The week directly after this attack is very strange. People are worried to go out into the market. There is a large effort made on cleanup and something done to try to get rid of bodies. It is an unpleasant time for Smoky Banks. Probably the biggest oddity is that there were no fatalities. There were a lot of injuries, but seemingly no one was outright killed. That strikes all of you as quite odd, especially given the fact that Fred, hours after the fight, drug himself into town, looking like he'd been fed through a wood chipper, and given his account of being basically stacked up against an endless number of these things, and then just kind of woke up not dead. Again, odd. Strikes you as odd.
Very much that not better kind of thing.
All of that being said, it is good news, right? No immediate deaths. Matthew's response team was able to step in and be helpful in the short term. And eventually, between Juliet and Tetti, the town was able to be isolated from these creatures pouring in. There's a lot of theorizing about maybe we just got lucky and it's thanks to Matthew, basically, that nothing went wrong. But the town is willing to shrug that off, right? That being said, around a week afterwards, there starts just being some odd reports. There's sort of like these occasional complaints about sleepwalking. People are reporting skin irritation. There's been occasional reports of people's eyes changing colors. And it seems to be mostly people that were directly involved in this conflict, like people that ran in and helped. So either the ones that were not immediately able to get pushed out, or like people that did not run away fast enough, or people that ran in to help, seemingly are the ones who are noticing these changes, right? It's not widely talked about yet. Seemingly a lot of people want to keep it quiet, but there's just kind of rumors, just rumblings about, hey, this is sort of weird that this happened, and some of us feel different now. It's nothing immediately apparent, you know, like there's definitely still people walking around with some bandages, you know, and stitches on cuts, but largely the town was mostly unscathed. You know, Matthew was able to step in and, you know, between him and his disaster response, you know, it went okay. Teddy eventually built some walls real quick and Juliet finally refurbished the town's lunar lasers. So now you guys have those again. So all in all, kind of a win. The town, after a week, starts to feel good about that. You know, there's people starting to come back out to the marketplace. Things start to return to normal. All of you go back to your normal work days, and I think largely the town tries to forget. However, Estelle, that patch of skin on your hand is really not going away. And you're really starting to draw some connections between the things that you saw and the symptoms that you've been experiencing.
Oh, am I?
Yeah. Not to play your character for you, but like I said, sometimes I have to guide you guys at the scenes. And I'll say maybe at this point you've kind of like given up on the eczema creams and everything that Dr. Noxilius has given you, and you decide to try to ask for some help. And it's during Juliet's like time in the lab that you decide to come and finally maybe ask for some help from a friend.
Yeah, so Estelle, you know, goes up to Juliet's lab door and knocks.
Like, come in.
Hey, I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Oh, no, what seems to be going on?
Estelle makes sure to close the door behind her. Okay, so do you remember when we ran into the Forest Phantom? Well, when you ran into the Forest Phantom the first time?
Yes, I find it hard to forget, actually.
Yeah, and then I was looking around to see if I could find anything, and I hurt my finger, and, yeah, it's, after last week, I'm more than a little concerned, so I was just wondering if maybe you could, like, take a look at it. And Estelle, like, starts unbandaging her finger, because she's just kept it bandaged this whole time.
Of course, I'll take a look right now. And she, like, peels off the bandage. When did this start?
I mean, it hasn't gone away. I only really noticed it getting more, like, rough, maybe a little bit before we got back from Bug City, but it's been here the whole time, and I feel like, okay, this is gonna sound crazy, but I kind of feel like I've been having hallucinations. Like, I keep thinking I see things come out of it, and I kind of assumed that was just like, we were all exhausted and I was just like super tired and getting, you know, my brain's, you know, just processing things. But now I'm worried that it might be connected to all this tree zombie stuff. And, what does it look like to you?
Well, that is a completely logical connection, and it was good of you to make that, and I will investigate it right now. Hallucinations, you said? Did it feel like you were back in the wilds by chance?
Not every time.
But some of the times?
Some of the times.
Oh, that's bad. Okay. Not for you, for me, actually. What is my wound like, Cody?
It's actually fine.
It's actually fine. Okay.
Yep.
And I haven't had any more hallucinations. Okay.
You haven't. Let me tell you something. There was a cutoff at which that would happen, and you stayed under it.
Cool. All right. But thank you for coming here. We are going to get to the bottom of this, for sure. Do you mind if I... And she, like, kind of, like, grabs a little, like, a little scalpel and is like, tell me if this hurts and I will stop immediately.
No, please.
And she kind of, like, tries to, like, scrape at the part that looks like wood.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to try to, like, take a shaving to, like, get a sample, basically.
Yeah. It doesn't peel away, like, wood or, like, skin, but something in between. So as you scrape the scalpel over, you know, wood is fibrous, right? So it would peel off in splinters. And it sort of does that as like a very small sliver of skin does pop away, but it isn't as like rigid and hard as a piece of wood. It still has some of like the flexibility of skin, but the texturing of it is fairly rough and does start to have some of that kind of wood fiber nature to it. Like the edges of the cut have that kind of roughness as they peel away. So, yes.
Does it hurt me?
No.
Okay. And you're doing fine? Is this okay?
I can't... I mean, like, I can feel you doing that, but I don't feel any pain.
Okay, so the nerve endings seem to have been dampened here, and this... You don't feel this at all? So it's sort of like a callus, maybe? So she, like, takes some samples and puts them in, you know, like a... puts them on a slide. That's gonna, like, look under her microscope. I don't know that she can really see anything, but...
Make me some kind of research investigation check, and we'll see.
Plant identification?
What other stuff do you have?
Notice, plant identification, investigate, research.
What's the difference between plant identification and research?
Plant identification is specific to, like, flora. Research...
No, I mean, what's the number difference?
Oh, plant is 3 and research is 2.
I'll give you the 3 on this one.
3.
You can ask me 2 questions.
If you can't think of anything, the only thing that I can think of is I want to know if this is actually similar to the tree zombies, or because my hypothesis right now out of game is either this, well, I guess in game too, but this is either tree forest phantom related or tree zombie related. So I'm curious which way this is going.
Right. You want to know if you're going to turn into a tree zombie. I think Juliet also wants to know this.
I don't know if I'm going to turn into a tree zombie or if I'm going to turn into a forest phantom.
Gotcha. Yeah. Juliet wants to know how this compares to the stuff that she's seen in the medical tent. Like the wounds of the people who've been reporting odd stuff. The person that she saw with the cut who like kind of went after her.
Do you think that you would have taken samples from that as well? You can answer yes to this. I'm not going to fight you on it.
I don't think she would have immediately done it, like in the moment that she was trying to restrain somebody, but I think she would be curious about it.
So what I'll say is maybe at some point you've looked at either one of the bodies of one of these things that was under, you know, that ended up getting killed while you guys were fighting, or maybe you took some samples from some people that have reported issues, or maybe eventually in the medical tent you took some samples, whatever. So the initial answer is yes and no. There are similarities. When you look at one of these creatures that was killed, right, it's not the same cell structure, right? So like if you're looking down at the cellular level, it is not the exact same structure. a tree, right, has like solid cell walls that are fairly rigid, and you know, like that's where plants are the way they are, and they like are a specific shape. Even the creatures that attacked your town were not that, right? They still had more hallmarks of human cells. But that being said, the cells that you saw were not human. When you look at Estelle, like that sample you peeled off of her hand, it's a similar thing. It's like you can see a transition, like as you go across the sample that you took, the like deeper and closer to her actual like meat of her palm, maybe you cut in, you can see areas where those cells look almost entirely human. And then you can see them changing into something else. Like, it seems like Estelle has, it's like, oh, there's a different kind of cell layered on top. It is this smooth transition as it seems like Estelle's cells are changing, right? The things that you saw attack, their cells were far more uniform. You didn't see those kinds of, like, differences, but it was... what they turned into was something not exactly a plant, so you wouldn't be able to identify it as like, these are oak cells, but they have some similarities, right? There are like things in common.
My second question is like, what would stop these from growing? Like, what sort of thing would make these cells, you know, like die off the way cells are supposed to?
The answer to that is very uncomfortable. This patch is consistent, and I will say maybe even you can see that when Estelle was in the fight, that part of her hand got cut and healed, which is to say, as this same stuff.
Okay.
Which is to say, it's not like, oh, this is a patch that will die off and then fall off. It is what her body is growing.
It's like regenerating itself.
Yeah.
The way living cells do. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So... somewhat, the good news is that it is not identical to the tree zombies that we saw. It is similar, which I think you can observe from the hallmarks that you see here.
Mm-hmm.
The, I guess, more challenging news is that these cells seem to be part of you now. They're regenerating as... these tree cells, they're not just, you know, going through apoptosis and then being done. They're continuing to regenerate as this new type of cell. I definitely want to do some further tests on it, if that's all right with you.
Yeah. Do it. Do whatever you gotta do. As far as I'm concerned, I just need to not do whatever makes it spread, which last time it spread was because I was actively trying to get my eyes to glow again.
Oh.
So...
You said your eyes glow?
Oh, sorry. Thought I mentioned that in the list of symptoms. Matthew mentioned that they were glowing when we were dealing with the... Great Strider coming, but that went away, so I was conducting my own experiment and trying to see if I could make that happen again.
Logical.
And it seemed to get worse when I did that, so ideally, I just don't think about it or try that again. And then if I find something else that makes it grow, just don't do that.
How has that been going? She, like, pulls out a notebook and starts jotting things down.
I don't think it's grown anymore. I haven't noticed. There hasn't been anything noticeable since I last attempted it. And I'm not going to attempt it again. I don't want it to keep growing. I know that's...
Right. Yes.
Experiments and all that, but that's one thing I'm not going to do.
Right. That seems like too much of a risk given the outcomes you've already experienced. So, preliminary hypothesis, it seems like if you're maybe mentally connecting to the forest phantom somehow, that connection is prompting a physical change. That sounds a little far-fetched, now that I say it out loud, but...
You know, considering everything that we've run into, though, I would not put it past that idea. That idea sounds like what's happening.
Right. So we'll have to figure out a way to examine this in a safe way. If we can maybe run tests on the cells disconnected from you and see if presence... Putting them in the same space as something from the wilds would make them grow.
Maybe every, like, week we measure it and see if it's gotten bigger.
Oh, definitely, yes. We should be keeping track of its growth, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, makes a little table in her notebook.
Well, and I don't know if we can find where we were, but it might not be a bad idea to see if we can find out what I actually hurt myself on.
Oh, like what specific species of plant, you mean?
Yeah, honestly, it's not a bad idea to try to figure out where it came from, I don't think.
I would agree.
But I don't remember how far out we were. I don't think it was that far, but I don't know. Either way, I think at some point...
It'd be good to gather specimens from there, if we can.
Yeah.
Maybe compare them to you and to the other tree zombie cells.
Right. Well, that might, you know, that might actually help some of the people that are also experiencing symptoms. If maybe that's what's causing the growths or the wood skin thing. And Estelle starts, like, bandaging her finger back up.
So are you all right with... having regular meetings on this? I think I'll have a lot of tests to run, if it's not too much trouble for you.
I think I'm gonna have to be, if we're gonna figure out how to stop this. So, no, we'll make it work.
And we will. We will figure out how to stop this.
I think so. I think we can do it.
Around this time, you know, Fred has been laid up for quite some time. He was one of the more wounded people that managed to drag themselves out of this fight. He was alone and barely remembers anything that happened to him. So Fred's been in, like, the medical center for a bit. And today is the day that he is supposed to be released. And Fred, at this point, you know, you're sitting up. You're mostly on the mend, you know. You know, you're wearing a cast, you know, maybe like a brace, but you're mostly able to get around. You're feeling pretty good. Still just kind of hobbling a little bit. All the doctors that have been checking in on you are actually really impressed with the amount of progress that you've made. So as you're about to be released, you kind of asked, you know, all of your friends to stop in and have a brief conversation with you on your way out. So you're just like kind of sitting in this little back room in the medical center by yourself, waiting for everyone to show up. And as you're doing that, you're just sort of staring at this, you know, IV drip. It's not hooked up to you anymore. It's just still sitting there. And you can just kind of see, like, this machine just, like, whirling around some, you know, IV fluid as you're waiting for people to come into, like, this room that you've been in for, like, the past week. The room itself is really busy. Honey found out that you were in here and has made it like her mission to come by and bring you baked goods.
Of course.
And bring you flowers and balloons. There has been like an endless parade of elderly ladies from Smoky Banks coming in and treating you like a hero, which is kind of nice, you know. They bring good snacks. But you're sitting here just kind of like watching this drip. And as you do, you kind of keep remembering back to that fight. You know, you remember back to being in this chasm and how brutal this fight was as you were at some points punching apart creatures with your bare hands. You can still kind of see the scars on your knuckles. And the amount of violence was shocking and how much it was like it came for you whether you wanted it or not, right? It was like the door was crashing open. There was nothing you could do. As you see this drip, 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 drip. And as you do, you kind of feel yourself start to fade as your mind wanders back to these dark parts of the forest, these quiet places where sounds are muffled. and you see a scene of this meadow where some light pours through old dark vines. You can see butterflies floating around flowers and through this meadow. You can see, as you look, the caterpillars that they started out as your focus zooms closer and closer and closer, as you see like the life cycles of the forest playing out, as your mind's still just kind of wandering off. And in this quiet, peaceful scene, you see the massive footfall of a bear crush everything that you just saw, that you were so zoomed in on, as a bear runs through and tries to climb up a tree to get away from a bird, or, you know, like seek cover from a bird as it's clawing its way into the boughs of a tree, as you see this horrible bloody fight trash through this beautiful scene that you just saw. And it's right then that, you know, the rest of you open the door and you see Fred staring with bright green eyes into an IV drip, and then he blinks, looks up at you, and his eyes are back to normal.
Can we talk about how birds are horrifying in real life and we made them worse?
Right. I had a mental image. It wasn't exactly this, but when you said a bear climbing up a tree to get rid of, to escape a bird, I was like, bear? Hummingbird? No, never mind.
Big, large, predatory birds.
That made it worse, though. Like, birds are creepy. Like, vultures or, like, hawks, scary. A hummingbird, like, the size, like, a 10-foot-tall hummingbird is specifically worse. Like, I'll take a 10-foot hawk, not a 10-foot hummingbird. Sorry.
When we walk in, Estelle make sure to lock eyes with Juliet for a second when we see his green eyes or the glowing eyes.
You guys are here. Thanks for stopping by. Now that I've had a chance to kind of mend a little bit, I kind of want to talk about what happened out there.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. Still got some bangs and bruises and all that, but I mostly wanted to talk about what happened after, because I wasn't really in much of a state to talk about too much when I got back. I ran into that forest phantom right as I got out of the ravine, and she said some things that were kind of, well, she said a lot of things, like she does. She says a lot of words, and it's hard to kind of interpret what she means, but anyway, it basically boiled down to, The forest is change, and if you don't change with it, you die.
Are you changing, Fred?
Am I changing? Well, what do you? I don't know what you mean.
Do you have any? How are your wounds healing up? Everything okay?
I mean, I think everything's healing up all right.
Nothing weird around your cuts or anything? Any stiffness?
Do I notice anything weird around my cuts, or have I had a chance to even, like, look under the bandages yet?
You don't. The only odd thing is you sure are healing quickly.
I mean, I guess I seem to be healing pretty quick, but I haven't noticed anything else odd.
All right, well, that's good. I'm glad you're on the mend.
Yeah, I just thought you guys would want to know about that, seeing that forest phantom again, and her ominous warning, if that's what it was. It was very strange.
Ominous, for sure. Yes, definitely ominous.
Yeah, I'm definitely concerned that you saw the forest phantom again. And honestly, I'm not really surprised by her warning, considering what just happened. It seems like the town's getting attacked at any chance something gets to.
Well, that's something that's also pretty odd about this whole situation. Like, I've been hearing about what happened here in town while I was gone, and am I correct in hearing that nobody died in all the attacks? That nobody died in all the attacks around town?
Nope.
No, I don't think there were any fatalities.
I mean, because I should have died. There were dozens of those things down there in that facility with me. I should not have made it out of there alive. I don't know how I did.
Yeah, like, it doesn't make me feel good. This is not... You know, in stories when tragic things happen and everyone gets out scot-free, that's usually not a good thing.
Yeah, because that makes me wonder if there's this attack by these foresty creatures, but the point wasn't to kill us, because, like I said, I should have died, then why was it? What was the point of the attack? Did they do something else to us? To me, I guess, because I woke up in a puddle of what I assume was my own blood, and I don't have a whole lot of memory of what happened down there.
Right. Have you had any hallucinations, odd things you've seen?
Well, I did just have kind of a little zone out there before you guys walked in. I just thought I was daydreaming, but it was definitely about the forest. I thought I was just kind of daydreaming about what happened, but it wasn't quite about what happened either.
And that's the first time that's happened?
As far as I'm aware, yeah.
All right. Well, maybe don't think about the forest, as hard as that is.
I mean, it might be a little difficult to do that.
I recognize that.
I mean, you've heard the thing, right? Where it's like, I tell you, don't think of a pink elephant. What do you think about right now? A pink elephant.
The forest.
Autumn.
You told him to, not me.
Well, maybe...
We're going back out there, though, right?
Are you planning something?
No, but, like, are we just going to sit around here and do nothing? Like, these things came from the forest, right? Are we just sitting here and going to wait till they come back again and then someone does die or whatever they're doing to us?
I'm doing a lot of research.
I mean, do we have a direction to even go? Do we even know where to go?
Right, we can't just dive into the river.
Literally, we can do that.
I mean, I don't know if that... You are welcome to dive to the bottom of the river, Autumn.
I'm not saying we blindly go, but I think we're going to go there soon, aren't... Like, we are the people that have to do this. Like, it's kind of our job in town. Well, and by in town, I mean literally not in town.
I don't think you're necessarily wrong about that. I think it's just... Once we're going to have to, well, one, Fred, we're going to need you back on your feet. And I think once we have a direction, then yeah, we're going back out.
And we need a lot more preparation.
Oh, I actually might have just had an idea. I didn't think of anything of it initially, but I ran into Hugo, you remember our pal Hugo that was in the cave that we ran into?
Oh, yes.
I ran into him while I was out at the facility one time, and we had a little conversation. Wasn't anything super important. He was just kind of curious on why I was there, and we just chatted for a bit. But then he was one of them.
Oh no.
When I do remember that, I don't remember a lot about what happened, but I do remember that when he was the first one I saw, looking down the crevice at me with the green eyes and everything, and he was definitely one of the horde that attacked me. I couldn't tell you if what happened to him in the fight, because I don't remember exactly what happened, but he was definitely there.
Did he look weird when he came to you beforehand?
I mean, no weirder than normal, I don't think.
And how long between when you saw him normal and as a tree zombie?
How long was it, Cody?
It would have been maybe a week. Like, it was some time. It wasn't immediate. It was some time passed.
Might have been a week.
That doesn't make me feel good if people were infected with this or something.
Well, we don't know if Hugo was exposed to something and how long before he saw Fred that happened. You know, it could have been months. And then he saw Fred, and then a week later...
Yeah, I think
had more obvious symptoms.
I don't think you're wrong, but I also think Fred just says we said we have a clock, and it is ticking down.
I mean, I don't know if I'd say that even, but what I do think might be a good idea is stop by his cave, see if there's anything happened there,
and if he's there.
Maybe we can work that out once we get there.
We should definitely have at least 3 plans before we go out, but sure, we can go out there.
I didn't even think of the fact that I was telling Juliet, we'll plan later.
We can plan later as long as you plan.
All right, so returning back to normal life is sort of disappointing. You know, there is this desire for you guys to go back out, but like you all have kind of said, there isn't a lot to go on at the moment. Estelle, this is an odd time for you specifically. Matthew is almost always gone now. He's hardly ever working as a cook anymore. He's almost entirely like redoubling his efforts to organize and train. You can see a lot more immediate, like, visual response. There's, you know, it isn't just Sheriff Mitchell wandering around anymore. You do see people that are, like, patrolling for disaster response. Like, the times that you do see Matthew, he seems very, like, hurried and just he doesn't have a lot of time for you. And you still kind of remember that moment where he was, like, laying on the ground injured and still, like, telling you what to do, which is an odd feeling. It's sort of similar when you think about like trying to go and meet with anybody. Like Juliet has her job off in the university, which at this point is becoming more important as you guys are gathering samples from people that may have been infected. Autumn is equal parts valuable on reconstruction and building the new living spaces, and Fred is, you know, still trying to craft new items. But you find yourself alone one afternoon in the vet's office, just in the back office, kind of like aimlessly tapping at a desk as you kind of look around this very quiet office. No one's bringing in animals right now. There's still just kind of like less foot traffic around town in general. And there just isn't really anything else for you to do on an afternoon as you find yourself here. Make me an investigation check.
Some kind of like danger sense find. Or inquisitive?
Inquisitive works.
Plus 2.
Cool. So with a +2, you are sitting at this desk and it's like you're very rarely sitting. You know, either you're taking care of animals or you're running off into the wilds or you're dealing with disasters as they come. And so finally you're sitting at your desk as a veterinarian and you look and see that it like still says Dr. Otis on it. And you're like, I should probably get a new name thing. And you start kind of like pulling open drawers in this desk that has someone else's name on it, you know, and you reach down and find one locked drawer. What do you do?
I try to open it.
Make me some kind of like, well, you tell me how you do that. Is this like you get down there with some lockpicks or are you just like, thunk?
I'm going to break out one of the lesser used surgical tools and use that to kind of like jam it open.
Cool.
And I'm going to use surgical.
I like that.
+2.
So it's not that much different than a knee joint and like popping that back into place, you think to yourself as you're digging this tool in, and then it kind of binds, you're like, crunch, and the door pops open, and you're like, that probably won't lock again, but I didn't have the key anyways. Inside, you find a journal with Dr. Otis's name on it.
Is there anything else in there?
Yes, there is. You find a very smooth stone. It's perfectly round. And when you lift it, it feels hollow.
Does it look exactly like the one I've got?
Sure does.
Okay.
Where did you get that stone?
From the Forest Phantom.
She just like handed it to you?
I gave her a gift of spices and she left that by me the next morning.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna start flipping through that journal.
Dear diary, I just met the cool, like, the most beautiful forest lady ever. Her name is F.P. Forest Phantom. Heart around it.
We're gonna divide this up into 3 searches. So this is a very, very, very long journal. It's a thick book, right?
Apparently I've got time.
That's true. And you know what date Otis went missing, right? Mm-hmm. you know, it's not that long ago from now, because that the reason you came to town is because there was a vacancy with the veterinarian's office. So maybe they didn't have a vet for like a month. So really, at this point, it was maybe 3 months ago that he went missing, right? So you start flipping through this book, and it's probably the first date is from a little bit over a year ago. So we're going to do basically three investigation checks. And the way this is going to work is I'm going to give you an impression based on that, and then you can ask me a number of questions based on like what you could find in it.
Okay. Do you want me rolling with inquisitive or danger sense?
Inquisitive works, yeah.
Okay. Apparently I should have looked. Well, that's a good roll. It's a plus six.
Dadgum. Okay, so you start reading through some passages, and these are largely... It feels like you're talking to the man that you remember, right? So Dr. Otis was a genial kind of, he's kind of like a folksy doctor type. So, you know, he largely worked on animals. He was smart, but a lot of it was very practical knowledge, and he'd been doing it for a while. He's very set in his ways. So there's a lot of entries about like, Gene came in, his dog had a sprained ankle, you know, whatever, bound it, gave him this for the painkillers, he was off, traded me for some delicious cooking, right? There's like really normal stuff. And largely this is the guy that you remembered. He was a friendly dude, everyone liked, whatever. But occasionally you're finding these passages where he was like, I know Mitchell keeps telling me not to, but I can't help it. The wild animals present in the forests outside of the ruins are incredible. I keep bringing new specimens to, oh my gosh, what's his name? That's why I have this whole thing.
Doc Marlin.
Doc Marlin, and he agrees that these are some of the most incredible finds I've ever found. On top of that, I'm finding some incredible medicinal roots that I'm hoping to start using on animals if Doc Marlin can give me the all clear. And then another passage. This type of work is not without its risks, and I keep explaining this to Mitchell. He rolls his eyes at me and tells me that this has always been a dangerous town. He knows firsthand this has always been a dangerous town. I think he's being dramatic, but he's a good guy. He's cautious. I'll try not to get in too much danger, but the discoveries keep coming and I can't help it. And then there's like another entry. Maybe going out in the wilds is dangerous, but bringing Maul with me seems to make me feel a little bit safer. You know, and there's just like endless passages like this about him going out into the wilds, mixed in with people coming and having their animals and whatever. Mm-hmm. Are there any questions you want to ask about this time frame? So think about, like, what was Otis up to a year ago?
I don't think I'm as interested in what he was up to a year ago.
Okay, roll again.
Can I carry over some of that plus six?
Yes. I'll say that you have, like, a couple of cached questions.
Yeah, because this one is a plus two.
Okay, so as you get further in, the writing gets more frequent and way less about animals. You know, he might still have an occasional entry, but it's like one line. Frank came in, fixed his dog's paw. Mm-hmm. Lucy came in, her, you know, whatever, her pet fish was getting fed too much. It's just like one line. And then there are these big chunks of explorations of things that he's found in the wild. And you'll even see some like, not exactly maps, but kind of like descriptions of locations. So you might see passages like, Maul and I found another incredible architectural structure. I am beginning to wonder how so much of this could exist so close to Smoky Banks when some of these structures I don't believe anyone on my planet has ever been capable of building. I'm beginning to think that I sound kind of paranoid. You know, another line down. The animals that I'm finding are becoming increasingly concerning and potentially violent. We've always had issues with large predatory animals in our world. Birds are a constant pestilence, but never before have I seen such large, violent mammals that could immediately compete with humans. I'm beginning to worry about dangers to Smoky Banks. You know, another entry. Again, in the wilds with Maul, we found structures that don't even look like they were built, but rather grown. I'm starting to wonder what the difference between grown and built even is in the presence of the wilds. Another line down. I've been trying to map out the wilds, and it feels like it's changing. the more time I spend out there, the less connected I feel to reality. Another line down. I'm unsure if I can trust Maul anymore. I think that she is strange. There are too many unexplained things about her, but she's also, I think, the only person that can keep me safe. What questions would you like to ask about this time?
Are any of the places that he is describing things that we have seen when out there? Like, does any of it sound familiar
at
all?
Yes. So I will say, as you flip through this chapter, the only thing that sounds familiar to you is that passage about structures being grown rather than built. You remember seeing stone vines far down in a cavern that you found that led to this ancient structure, where you saw stone roots that looked like they could not have been carved, but were almost grown.
Is that the place where Autumn went down and the thing?
Yep.
Okay. With the pool and fought the thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Didn't fight the thing. Got lucky.
Oh, yeah. Didn't fight
Got
the
very
thing, yeah.
lucky.
No, we were smart.
You were very smart. Honestly, guys, like, again, that's one of those moments where you guys, like, out-DM'd me. So pat yourselves on the back for... You know how this fight went really bad? And now the town is infected with the plague. That was like the opposite, where you guys were just like, we get to skip this encounter. All right, you have more questions you can ask, though, during this time.
Does he specifically say anything? Like, what are the specific things that he doesn't trust about Maul?
Okay, I'm going to say this. A few things are going to use up basically the remainder of the questions for this time period, because this is some very specific stuff that would be scattered throughout.
Okay.
So as you keep looking for Maul's name, and kind of reading passages that relate directly to her, there are a lot just that you would expect. She clearly has a criminal past. She does not mind skirting the law. Mitchell does not like her. You know, there's passages like, again, Maul and Mitchell got into a fight. Maul, I still believe, is a benefit to the town, but Mitchell just cannot seem to trust her, right? This would maybe be earlier in the time, right? As you go down, you maybe get a passage that's like, Maul still will never allow me to do any kind of testing or close observation of her. She seems very uncomfortable around the notion of any kind of prying medical exam. And then maybe later there's a passage just like, was in the wilds with Maul and had a sudden thought. I've never met anyone with her color skin before. So like, a thing about our world, right, is that a lot of people have very different colored skin. It's actually rather uncommon for someone to just kind of be tan. Like, none of you are. It's maybe not that weird because there is, like, a large array of, like, different skin tones. But just one that hasn't ever jumped out at you before, as you think back on it. At least not for Otis.
What color is Mitchell's skin?
I don't know if I ever said.
If I had to guess, he's probably more similar to what Estelle is, because we're generations of people who have lived in Smoky Banks.
Yeah, that would
make
sense.
So it's probably that tan with, like, green undertones.
Okay.
And it might be something like, you know, at a glance, whatever, she's tan, that's not that weird. But it's like, getting really down to it, it's like there is no other coloration on her whatsoever other than just kind of, like, what we would consider to be, like, normal tan skin, which is weird. And then it's just kind of, like, wandering things about that, like... She won't ever let me take samples of her hair. She won't let me really take close, like, look at her eyes really closely, you know, whatever, stuff like this.
You're being weird, Otis.
Yeah. And then maybe, like, the last passage would be something like, Maul seems to be able to show up when she shouldn't be able to, and I don't know how she gets the places that she gets as quickly as she does. I was running away from some creature that we encountered. I know I was ahead of Maul, and then I got into a clearing and she was already here. There is no way she could have gotten here. All right, one more roll for the last section of this chapter, or for this book.
Another plus two.
Okay, so you're only going to get one question after, like, the brief description here. Here the writing gets way more frantic and less consistent. The first passage goes, I've met someone in the wilds for the first time. As much as I've seen indications of other civilizations and other structures and plenty of wild animals, I've never met anything I could converse with until this moment. I was alone, deep in the woods, when what seemed to be a living pile of leaves gathered around the fire next to me and began to speak. She seemed to say something about being part of this place and that I had wandered further than I realized. And then it felt like I woke up and I immediately came back to Smoky Banks. I cannot stop thinking about her. Later, another entry. It feels like every time I go into the wilds now I see her. Her form is getting more defined, and she seems more and more fascinated in who I am and what I'm doing. We begin to trade knowledge and items back and forth. I have left one of them in my desk. It's hollow, and I'm scared to open it, but she said it was a gift. You know, a while later. I think I'm beginning to change. Things are different. It feels like I'm always in the wilds, even when I'm in Smoky Banks. There's a smell and a sound that's ever present, and I'm beginning to feel different, not just on the outside, but on the inside. I'm beginning to think that maybe Maul is not the weirdest thing here. I think it might be me. Later, you see passages that are becoming more and more cryptic. I think that there is a heart to be found here. I think that there is something deep and dark that I must discover. I think that I'm being called into something fascinating, something that I can't turn away from. What kind of questions would you like to ask about this chapter?
I want all the information he has about the heart.
Okay. Let me think about
it. And has he been reading Joseph Conrad?
Who's Joseph Conrad?
He wrote Heart of Darkness.
Oh. You find a passage that is pretty close to the end, right? Maybe you read the last passage and it's, again, just like mumbo jumbo. This one maybe isn't that last one. Or at some point, like, the writing fades away from even being decipherable into random scribbles and symbols that mean nothing to you. But the last, like, long decipherable passage goes something like this. It's the sound more than anything that haunts me. Every time I close my eyes, I can feel it. At first, it was only a buzzing rattle like insects in my brain, but now it seems to have a pulse, a beat. I think somewhere deep in the wilds there is a heart, a center of what this place is. I don't know that Smoky Banks was always so close to this thing, but now I feel I can find it. I feel I'm being called to find it. There's something far down, deep in the darkest parts of this forest. Something that might lead to other places. Something that might change me. And I must find it.
I want to open his gift.
Do you mean like, it doesn't have like a seam, so
I
want
to break it open.
Let me think for a moment.
Ah, stop!
I think that's just where we cut the episode. I want to break it open.
Yeah, I think we do. Yeah, what I'll say is you like have that moment where you like read this passage about there being this thing calling to you, right? And you like look at that like thing on your hand, you know, and then you look at this thing that was told to you was a gift, one that you have one just like it. And you smash it on the desk and nothing comes out at first, right? Like it just crushes hollow. Just this faint flecks of green plant matter puff up into the air around you. And again, you smell that like rich, earthy smell that does have decay, but also growth. The smell of flowers and bloom and leaves in the fall. Smell of wind blowing through the trees. And that smell overtakes you, and just like it described, at first you hear a buzzing, and then a pulse, this rhythmic, burbling thump, as you open your eyes, and you're in the darkest parts of the forest. At this point now, the colors have shifted from that kind of kaleidoscopic forest that you would see at home to one of deep green. There's mossy boulders piled up around this little meadow, this break in the trees, and you can see in that pile of rocks, there's a small pool of water that's every once in a while pulsing and burbling like a little waterfall bubbling out of this rock, trickling down over mossy stones into this little pond, and every, you know, like the beat of a heart, you just see this occasional burble of water. And as you look around this place, you immediately catch eyes with a figure with glowing green eyes, and the face is almost familiar to you, and you pass out. Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.